Let's begin. Okay, so our topic for today is the din of the concept of pshara and how pshara relates to the mitzvah of din. So let's begin with the makar for pshara itself. And here I'm going to quickly go through four makoros. The first makar is the mechilta in Parshas Yisro. It's in Perek Beis, Parshat Tazayin. The Mechilta says, "V'shafatiti bein ish zeh hadin she'ein bo pshara." That's the shafatiti bein ish hadin without pshara, bein re'eyu zeh hadin she'yesh bo pshara. So the diak of the Mechilta seems to be that bein ish refers to din because there's going to be some sort of machlokas between them. The bein re'eyu, when they're parting as friends, that's going to refer to pshara because pshara encourages shalom. So it's bein re'eyu. But what we could derive from this makar of the Mechilta is that pshara is here referred to as vishafatiti, right? It's a form of being shofet. It's a form of adjudication. Okay? And more importantly than that, the Mechilta refers to this kind of this process as din sheyesh bo pshara. Okay, so it seems to be a form of din itself. The second makar for pshara comes from our Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Vav Mem Beis. The Gemara quotes the position of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Says mitzvah livtzoa shenemar ms u'mishpat shalom shifti b'sha'arechem. The Gemara asks, what's mishpat sheyesh bo shalom? Haviyomer is debitzua. Okay, so here again, the fact that the Gemara refers to pshara as mishpat sheyesh bo shalom seems to imply that we're dealing with a subcategory of mishpat itself. Okay, very much in line with the mechilta. Furthermore, Rashi on the Vav Amid Aleph, when the Gemara says, the Gemara has the tzad of makshinon pshara ledin, that we're going to derive halachos of din for pshara. So Rashi says that's based off this limud of mishpat shalom shifti b'sha'arecha mishpat sheyesh bo shalom. Okay, so the basis of saying makshinon pshara ledin, according to Rashi, is the fact that the Gemara uses the makar which calls pshara a form of mishpat. A third makar for pshara comes also from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, not in the first parak, but from the Gemara in Lamed Beis and Mebeis. The Gemara there quotes two psukim, "B'tzedek tishpod amisecha," and "Tzedek tzedek tirdof." The Gemara then explains, "Echad ledin ve'echad lepshara." Okay, and here we have a three-way machlokas in the Rishonim how to interpret the line "Echad ledin ve'echad lepshara." Rashi there says that the two "Echad ledin" and "Echad lepshara" are referring to the self-same pasuk. Tzedek tzedek tzirdof. One tzedek refers to tzadek din shalcha, and the second tzedek refers to tzadek pshara shalcha. Okay, so according to Rashi, from the fact that he combines the limudim, or he sees them as emerging from the same pasuk, we could reconstruct that Rashi sees din and pshara as being very much related. Right, there are two forms of tzedek, tzedek tzedek, and just one refers to pshara, one refers to din. Tzedek tzedek tzirdof. The second view in interpreting that Gemara comes from Rabbeinu Chananel on the spot on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Rabbeinu Chananel says it's not that the same pasuk of tzedek tzedek is reserving one tzedek for din and one for pshara. Rather, the Gemara is now referring to two separate psukim. B'tzedek tishbot amisecha, says Rabbeinu Chananel, refers to din. The pasuk of tzedek tzedek tirdof refers to pshara. And this is already Rabbeinu Chananel's Chiddush. I think in Shir we quoted B'shem the Yad Ramah, but the Yad Ramah adopts Rabbeinu Chananel's Pshat. The Yad Ramah explains, okay, why is B'tzedek Tishpod Amisecha referring to Din? So he writes, the Hachi Mashma Lishna Ditishpot Gabe Din Akai. The word Tishpot itself has the connotation of Din. Kidichsi V'shafatetem Tzedek. V'yachad L'Pshara Mishpat. From the absence of the word mishpat in tzedek tzedek tirdof, you see that it's not a form of din and it's pshara. Shmamina gabi pshara kai. Okay, so the Yad Ramah here is very clear that the makar for pshara stems from the absence of the shem mishpat. Okay, so we're defining pshara in contradistinction to the process of din as mishpat. The Yad Ramah pushes even further, because it's not just about the appearance of the word mishpat, and he's medayik from the fact that one pasuk has tzedek, tzedek twice, and one of them only has tzedek once, and he says, chad tzedek legabe din, v'trei gabe pshara. Why? Mishum didin lo boi iyuna V'tzlusa kuli hai. Ela demifsaka liba dehilchasa. Since din has very clear guidelines for how you're supposed to adjudicate, so all you need is one tzedek, right? Just follow the dinim of the Shulchan Aruch and you'll be fine. Pshara, which doesn't have clear guidelines, so for that you need tzedek tirdof, right? You have to be extra scrupulous in how you're and how you're going to carry out pshara. Okay, so according to the Yad Ramah, we have, just based off the Makar, we have two distinctions between din and pshara. The first being that the word mishpat is reserved for din, not for pshara. The second being that you need two tzedeks for pshara because there are no clear guidelines of how to go through it. A third shita in interpreting the Gemara appears in the Rimilu Nil. The Rimilu Nil agrees with Rabbeinu Chanana that the two psukim are referring, or that each pasuk is reserved for a different process, but the Rimilu Nil reverses it. He says that b'tzedek tishpat amisecha actually refers to pshara against the Yad Ramah and Rabbeinu Chanana. And the pasuk of tzedek tirdof refers to din. Okay, so again, he has the exact opposite way of aligning the shitos with the psukim then Rabbeinu Chananel. How do you explain the Rimilu Nil? So you could say that the Rimilu Nil is just simply is influenced by the Mechilta. Amisecha, b'tzedek tishpat amisecha, where they're parting as friends, that's going to refer to pshara, because you have the virtue of shalom. That's one way of interpreting it. The other way of interpreting it is to say that the pasuk which has tzedek twice, what's considered super justice, that's obviously din. Whereas then it only has tzedek once, a weaker form of justice, that's what referred to pshara. Okay, so it could be that the Rimilu Nil is influenced by tzedek versus one tzedek, or it could be that he's influenced by the mechilta, about the lashon of amisecha, versus the neutral formulation of tzedek tirda. A fourth, let me just give fourth makar for the section, then we'll move on. A fourth makar for pshara, and this one is a negative makar, also appears in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Vav Mebeis, and this is the man to Amar that pshara is aser. The Gemara says, Botzea barich nietz Hashem, that kol botzea harezem minayitz. Right, and the Rishonim point out that this is from the Lashon of Gezel, that do compromise when you're supposed to be doing din, that's a form of theft. And the Gemara actually continues, so here the Gemara is actually contrasting mishpat with din, like kiam mishpat lelokimu, as something which rules out pshara. Yikov adin esahar kiam mishpat lelokimu. So clearly pshara is not a form of mishpat. Whereas if you took the other makoros that we saw earlier, there are clear ways of smuggling pshara into the category of mishpat itself. That's the first section about the makar for the din of pshara. Yeah, just let me take
the Rimilu Nil, the second option, that he's influenced by the numbers of tzedek. You would have to say that he's completely disagreeing with the Yad Ramah in that he thinks that
it's not about compensating.
Yeah, right. As in, we had options of saying that the stronger form of justice is pshara.
How are you going to say that?
Because it's you get around all the technical things that stand in the way, and you get to really get to the. Not always does halakha dictate.
Saying choshen mishpat is technical.
There are times
you've been
when
sitting
there
in shir for multiple
there
years.
There are times when there are halachos and choshen mishpat that are there for low plug and don't actually get to the.
But the arbitrary whim of the dayan, that's like.
Well, I mean, arbitrary whim of the dayan is a bit extreme, but you.
But that's less technical than the low plugs of Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
Well, the idea here would be that it wouldn't be.
Okay, but even still, what's it grounded in?
It's a question of rigor.
Well, what would it be grounded in?
It's understanding the principles of Choshen Mishpat.
But then you're just saying that,
that
it's Choshen Mishpat, which
Choshen
is
Mishpat
what's...
Plus. It's using all the things that Choshen Mishpat, that made Choshen Mishpat so great, and you get a chance to get around the low plugs. I'm not saying this
right,
the first
not,
time we said that.
I'm not so sure about that. Not so sure about that. Okay. Reiner.
I don't understand why Rashi implies that Shara and Din are within the same system.
I don't know, I didn't see it happen over here.
I don't understand why Shara and Din, the fact that we are riding the same process implies that they're from the same system, more than we would say that the fact that each one has its own independent set that shows that they're very different.
Well, you could say that means the same word referring to both concepts, and tzedek tzedek, these are both two different kinds of justice.
Yeah, but if they imply the same word, then maybe just say that you only need one tzedek for each goal. The fact that you need an independent tzedek for each one, can you just say that and say the opposite?
It's difficult to say. I think there are two things in favor of this reading. The first is that it's from the same source itself, right? And B, even when you want to atomize the pasuk and say one tzedek for Ludin and one tzedek for Pshara, right, kind of like the makar is identical, right? It's kind of, they're both just the same word, tzedek, same concept, same principle, just telling you there are two different forms of it. I think that's the simplest way of taking it. Okay. Any other questions on the makoros? What? Yeah, the Rimilun Yoz Alatar on Lamed Beza. So now we move away from the makar and we turn to the semantics of the word bitsua versus pshara. The Gemara on Daf Vav Mid Aleph, so the Gemara says, Leima Ketanai, bitsua b'shlosha, tivir amer, v'chacham omrim pshara b'yachid. Right, so it's a little jarring that referring to the very same concept, the Gemara transitions from the word pshara to the word bitsua. Rashi Yalatar, Rashi says, what does bitsua mean? It says, bitsua is pshara. Right, it's the same concept. Right? It translates one in terms of the others. The Yadarma points out that the word, the term bitsua versus pshara, your choice in choosing one against the other, is actually very much value laden. So the Yadarma writes, "Amai kawile bitsua, lefisha notel mamon mizeh, v'notein lezeh shelo kedin, v'dami legezel." So the Yad Ramah says, we know from Tanakh that the word betza could mean gezel. So the man da'amar who holds that bitzua is aser, or at least it's a negative thing to do, so he calls bitzua a form of gezel. Whereas the man da'amar who calls it lashon pshara, so they have a positive view towards pshara because it's no tal shalom ben ish lechaveru. Okay, so according to Yad Ramah, the man d'amar who calls it botzeya thinks that it's a form of gezel. It may be sanctioned gezel because both parties agree, but it would be gezel nonetheless. A second interpretation of the semantics of pshara versus bitzua is offered by the Tosfos Rosh. The Yad Ramah also entertains it in a second daya. The Tosfos Rosh says that the word botzeya comes from the lashon of bitzua hapas, right, to break apart bread. Like you find in Shulchan Aruch, chilchos bitzua hapas, breaking it apart. So what does breaking apart have to do with pshara? So Tosfos Rosh says, lashon pshara kmo meniach prusa b'toch shlema uvotzeya, like you find from the Seder. Kein derech hamefasher tzarech l'shaber ha'inyan u'lechalko. Right, you're kind of redividing the assets that are in question. Okay, you're redividing them than what would otherwise have been a complete whole. And uman de machmir kari le bitzua shetzarech gimel ke'ein din shetzarech ledaktik uletzamtzem ulevatzeya kefi haroi mizeh velitein lezeh lefi ha'inyan. So the man de machmir, the person who approximates pshara as closer to din, he calls it bitsua because you have to break apart the case and reallocate the assets very carefully. Uman de mekel kari le pshara de ein tzarech le dakte kol kach ala ka adam hamatil tzonein le tocham menu mefashron. The man damar who's mekel and says, we don't care about the particulars of bitsua. All you have to do is make sure that both parties are happy. So he calls it pshara because it's all about taking two parties who are at polar opposites, they're in a machlokas, one's very hot, one's very cold, bring them together and you get a lukewarm substance. Okay, lefasher is to kind of take both parties away from the extremes. Okay, like mayim poshrim. So again, so according to the Yad Ramah, the question of bitsua versus pshara is very much value laden into whether pshara is a virtue or a vice. According to the Tosfos Rosh, it's about a description of the process of pshara. Is it about approximating din and being medakdek in the chaluka, or is it about simply being matil shalom ben ish l'riyeh? That's the second thing I wanted to discuss about the semantics of the word pshara versus the word din. Any questions on... anybody want to take issue with the qualifications of the Yadama and Tosa Rosh to weigh in on the lexical meaning of the words. I was skimming through Spinoza the other day, and he quotes the Ibn Ezra, and he's like, everybody knows that Ibn Ezra didn't know anything about the meaning of Hebrew words. Yeah, so. Quite an attack on Ibn Ezra. Okay. But no one wants to make a similar claim. No one wants to join the excommunicated Spinoza in impugning the credentials of the Rishonim. You wanted to join him? Is that?
I'm not talking to you for the
rest of the
day. I thought you were supposed to punish me or something. The third category, which I want to discuss today, is how does Pshara cohere with Din? Okay, so we discussed the Makar, we discussed the meaning of the words. But how are these two processes, okay, related or not, how are they supposed to relate to each other? How is Din supposed to cohere with Pshara? So here we're just going to, there are two basic models that we're going to approach that are going to break down into three different interpretations. The first model is a supplementary model, okay, or a model of complementarity. Where Pshara is supposed to complement or supplement Din and vice versa. This seems to be suggested by the Gemara on Lamed Beis Amud Beis, where the Gemara points out that there are certain cases where there's an intrinsic stalemate where Din has nothing to weigh in on the case. Remember the Gemara gave the example of the, you know, two Gemalim are trying to get up a steep cliff or a steep hill. They're coming from opposite sides, and if they both try to push through, then they'll both fall off the mountain. Right, so one of them has to let the other one go. Right, the point is that there is no din that could accommodate the essential stalemate of the case. So similarly, you'll say, there are certain cases in Choshen Mishpat where we simply don't have enough evidence, or we don't have any conviction about which way the din goes. So then, i.e. when din is indeterminate, then we have to resort to Pshara. So Pshara is filling in the interstices where din has no solution.
Why is that complementary, not supplementary?
What?
That's a supplementary relationship, not complementary.
Why? Why do you think it's not?
It supplements Din. It's not like Din complements Pshara. It's only a one-way relationship, and you can't do Din to Pshara, not the other way around.
I mean, you're saying the Iker still seems to be... You know, I'm not sure about the Iker, and it's conceptually Iker when you think about, well, we have Shulchan Aruch, and when you can't apply Shulchan Aruch, then you apply Pshara. Right? That's
a... go with the perspective of Din, and when that doesn't work, then you
do Pshara. Okay, so maybe from a Chatchila B'Diavad perspective it is.
Why does that not translate directly into Iker and Tafel?
Because maybe from the scope of issues that will come before Beis Din, it's hard to know...
The majority of them will be Pshara.
Right, it's hard to know the percentage of cases that are fully determined by Din. Historically?
I mean...
That's not what should make something Iker and Tafel, the numbers that come before then here. The current tuple here is the order of operations is they bring a case and you ask, does Shulchan Aruch have anything to say about it?
Okay, so I mean in the sense that when we have determined cases, then we do Din. When we have indeterminate cases, then we do Pshara.
Right.
So it's kind of like the Torah sets up, it's either or, right? Cases where you don't have enough evidence, then you l'chatchila resort to Pshara. Well, I'm not sure why. Why can't it just be the Torah sets it up that There will be cases, l'chatchila, where Choshen Mishpat doesn't weigh in.
Everything that's b'diavad.
And in those cases, l'chatchila, you're supposed to do Pshara.
That's saying everything that's b'diavad is l'chatchila, once you don't do
l'chatchila. Our lens is still looking for the view of Din. We're still saying, we're not formulating as, you know, you should do Pshara. If you can't, there's cases that don't have Pshara, then you do Din. Because I always look at, if you can do Din, if you can't do Din, do Pshara. The lens of, like, the way we're talking about it makes it very much seem like...
I'm not sure if it has to be, if we can't do...
Those who can't Pshara teach shit, that kind of thing.
I'm not sure why we have to look at it that way. I think in terms of the mentality of, yeah, we always open Shulchan Aruch first, then it's the Chatchila B'diavad, right? But let's say we say we open Shulchan Aruch, and Shulchan Aruch tells us the halacha that if it's determinate, then follow the next siman, and if it's indeterminate, then do Pshara. Like, why can't there be a Chatchila siman in Shulchan Aruch?
It is.
It's siman Yud Beis in Shulchan Aruch.
No, it's not, because... The difference is as follows. Meaning, yes, you're looking to Pshara first, l'chatchila, and then afterwards, if you can't, you do Pshara. But it seems that something you open your lunchbox and you expect to see the potato, but in fact, it's a cracker. It's not like l'chatchila, you're supposed to make halajama, and then afterwards, b'diavad, you made a bizonos. it's a different case, meaning you have a case, you're not sure what it is, you find it's indeterminate, like you're saying. So it's not that it's, oh, I tried din, now it's pshara. No, no, no. It's, this is not a potato, it's a cracker. So it's lechatchila, you're supposed to do pshara now.
Was that helpful?
Pizza and sushi.
Yeah, I mean, I'm inclined to agree with you a little less graphically, but yeah. Conceptually, we're on the same page. Yeah.
So I don't remember who says it. Who's the one that says that din, both boats would drown?
The Gemara seems to say that. The Gemara says that. In terms of din, you're an inherent stalemate. So
we see that there's an idea of sharpening on a higher.
Right. So the question is, what Adam's saying was, well, the point is when din fails, then do pshara. I'm saying no. Right? It's when din is indeterminate, we're going to do pshara.
Well, what defines if din fails? So if you're going to drown, you can't get anywhere with it.
Right. I mean, there's no evidence in this case.
What do you mean by not getting anywhere with it? That means that there's a higher form of evidence that says that we don't want both of them to drown.
It's not evidence.
A higher form of MS that says we don't want them to drown.
I'm not sure about bringing MS into the picture here. Okay, but I'm just trying to defend why it could be either complementary or supplementary.
Even within that opinion.
So let me just move on, and then we'll talk about it.
What is it that's telling us to drop din?
So I'm saying it's Shulchan Aruch itself, right? That's why it's not b'dieved. When you open Shulchan Aruch and it says, look, there are cases when din is indeterminate, do pshara. Right? It's not a b'dieved thing. It means that a dayan sits there. Some cases will be determinate. Some cases will be indeterminate. Okay. L'chatchila, just we have two ways of breaking down cases. Someone shows up with a shtar, do din. Someone shows up with no shtar and no evidence, and we can't even get any firm grounding in the case, do pshara.
You're saying any case where din is possible, you're saying that's the ideal.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that seems to be right. That seems to be where we're at right now. But I don't see any reason to label cases where din is impossible as b'dieved cases, right? Okay, who's with Adam on this? It's a Mia. It's a what?
I got you here.
Yeah, right here. Okay. Let me just bring some rayas to support this idea. So the first indication is just the Gemara in Sanhedrin Alam and Vez itself, where the Gemara says, look, there are echel din echel lepshara. There are cases where din fails, then do pshara. Okay, so that Gemara itself seems to speak to this idea. The second makar comes from the Rush in a Tshuva Kuf Zayin, in a Klal Kuf Zayin, Simen Vav. It's quoted actually in Shulchan Aruch in Simen Yud Beis Sif Hei, which is actually Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Pshara. The Shulchan Aruch writes based off the Tshuva Sarash. Yesh koach ledayin lasos din ke'ein pshara, b'makam she'ein hadavar yachal lehisbarer. V'eino rashay lehotzi hadin chalok mitachas yado b'ligmar. Okay, so Shulchan Aruch says there are cases when din is indeterminate. The dayan has an obligation to finish the case al pi pshara. Okay? So not only are we saying that we have a chiyuv to do pshara in this case, the Shulchan Aruch refers to it as ligmar hadin al yidei pshara. Okay, so here it sounds like we're speaking about pshara almost within the as a form of din itself. Okay, which kind of works nicely if you think that l'chatchila, these are supplementary processes. Or complementary. A third raya to this idea comes from Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer Yashar and the Chidushim in Simen Reish and Tes. Rabbeinu Tam says that if there's no evidence, says kigon shero she'ein davar tali bidin v'hasha tzricha pshara, so then the dayanim are allowed to impose pshara bal karcham shal bal yadinim. Okay, so there could be a case where it's a top-down imposed pshara by the dayanim, i.e. when we don't have any evidence to do din. Okay. The Sma in Simen Yud Beis, Sifkatan Yud Beis, endorses this idea of Rabbeinu Tam. He doesn't quote it from Rabbeinu Tam. He thinks this is implicitly the shita of the Rush. Okay. He thinks this is what the Rush means in the Tshuva, that the dayan has the koach to enforce pshara bal karcha when there's no evidence to settle it through din. A fourth indication of this idea comes from the Sefer Iter and Os Pei, under the category of Pshara. The Iter says that a Stam Pshara is only binding if it's done bikinyan. Okay, but once you have a kinyan, the Pshara is binding and the litigants can't back out. But he says there's one case where pshara with a kinyan may not be binding, and that's if you do pshara because you have no raya or shtar. Then if the raya and shtar come later, so the baal din is allowed to back out of the pshara, even though he did it b'kinyan gamur. So you see, according to the iter, there's a presupposition of certain cases of pshara that they're only done because there's a lack of evidence. So if evidence comes in later, that undermines the whole legitimacy of this pshara. Okay, so mela, even with the kinyan, the pshara is going to be chozer. Let me just make a fifth indication of this kind of idea of pshara supplementing din. It's a little bit of a side ara. But you could say, based off the Gemara, Lamed Beis and Lamed Beis, this we had a bit of a din about in Shir, what is the Gemara trying to prove from the case of the Shnei Gemalim and the Shtei Svinos? So the simple pshat in the Gemara, okay, and this is how we present it in Shir also, is that the Gemara is trying to prove that there are cases where din is indeterminate. Right? So if they both go, they'll both drown. Or if they both push up the mountain, they'll both fall off. And the Gemara says, in cases where it's indeterminate, then do pshara. Okay? So the Gemara is trying to legitimize pshara in these cases. A different way of interpreting the Gemara, and this is definitely the reading of the Yad Ramah and the Real Madri, is that there not only are there cases where it's legitimate to do pshara, but that there's a certain process through which pshara has to be done. Meaning, it's not sufficient for one sfina to allow the other sfina to go, but the bala sfina who goes first has a chiv to reimburse the bala sfina who's staying behind. Okay? So it's not simply to be matil pshara, look, both parties agree to do this. There has to be a fair way of executing the pshara. Right, so you might say this brings pshara back in the camp of din. Right? Obviously it's in the interest of both parties that one sfina go first rather than they both drown. Right? The point is that kind of a pshara is not a fair pshara. Right? The only kind of legitimate pshara is if both parties are reimbursed equally. Okay? So that brings the value of shalom pshara closer to the category of din. Is that clear? Yeah. What? I mean, it's clear that the better solution for both parties is to allow one sfina to go first. Otherwise, they both drown. Right? So that should be pshara. Right? Din doesn't work, so be matil pshara. The Gemara is saying no. Right? The bala sfina who's staying behind has to be fairly compensated for the time that he's losing. Right? Which seems to imply that there's some sort of din for how pshara is supposed to be executed.
So I'm saying the model of stars will exude is what brings it back to din.
Yeah.
But that isn't the Gemara.
So I think my father's reading that's just the hechatimtzi of how they're going to decide on who stays back. But the real point of the Gemara is to say, look, here you have to do pshara, din won't work. Right? The way the Yad Ramah and the Real Madri seem to be saying is that no. Right, pshara, the only kind of legitimate pshara is if there's equal compensation for both parties. Okay? Good. Here we move to so that's the first model. The first model is that of how they're supplementary to each other. The second model is going to assume that there's some sort of axiological priority. Okay, din essentially has kedimos to pshara, or pshara has conceptual kedimos to din. Okay, so let's begin with the kedimos of pshara. The tour paskins, based off one day in the Gemara, that there's a mitzvah livtsoa. What does it mean to have a mitzvah livtsoa? So the girsa of the tour against the girsa of the Rambam is that when the litigants come before Bezdin, so the dayanim say, Impshara b'isu o din b'isu. Right? They present the option of pshara before they present them with the option of din. The Taz b'shem the Maharal says that even within this girsa of the tour, the dayanim shouldn't be trying to persuade the litigants towards pshara. They should simply present it as an option. Okay. The Drisha disagrees, and the Sma also writes this in his Hagos to the Shulchan Aruch, that no, the notion of putting pshara first is implying that the dayanim have an obligation to persuade the litigants towards pshara. And so here you have a clear indication that pshara has axiological priority to din. An indication of this kind of priority is pointed out is implied in the Ri'az on this Gemara. The Ri'az quotes the Gemara in Bav Mitzia on Daf Lamed Amud Beis Shelo Charva Yushalayim Ela Al Shehimidu Divreim Al Din Torah. Right, the implication being that the reason why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed is because Dayanim limited themselves to just Dinei Torah. Implication being, right, this is implied by the fact that the Ri'az quotes this on this Gemara of Pshara, that Pshara is a higher form of adjudication, a better form of adjudication, than being ma'amid al dine Torah. Okay? There's axiological priority. A second indication of this idea, I think this is really just an explication of the Ri'az, is from the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Yid Beis, Sif Beis, where the Shulchan Aruch on the din of Pshara quotes two deyas in the Balei Tosfos whether we could be kofeh on lifnim mishuras adin. Okay, so it's just after the Shulchan Aruch paskins the halacha of Pshara. And then the Rama adds, V'ein bezen yicholim lachof likaneis lifnim mishuras adin afal pisha nir lehem shuhum in aray v'yesh cholkim. So it sounds like the Rama is learning that Pshara itself is lifnim mishuras adin, okay, which implies that it's more virtuous, like the Riyaz, than din itself. So another indication of this kind of axiological priority. The Ri'az, and here we have a third indication of this idea. The Ri'az also writes that even la'achar gmar din, there's a mitzvah for the balei dinim to do pshara between themselves. And he says, ve'ein lecha mitzvah gedola mizu. So even though the Gemara says that the dayanim can enforce pshara la'achar gmar din, nevertheless, there's a value for the litigants to do pshara after gmar din, ve'ein lecha mitzvah gedola mizu. This all makes din sound like a kind of a bidyavan. A fourth indication of this idea is posed by the Shach in Simen Yud Beis Sifkatan Vav, B'Shem the Shilta Giborim, and this is maybe even going further than the Riyaz, that even after the Gemar Din, Dayanim should be Mifayes and Mifatzer the Balei Dinim to accept Shara Beinayim. Okay, so whereas the Riyaz seem to suggest that the Balei Dinim should come to it on their own, right, the Shach, B'Shem the Shilta Giborim, is allowing the Dayanim to encourage or to motivate the Balei Dinim to do Pshara. The Bach in Choshen Mishpat Yud Beis Dalid disagrees with this Chiddush of the Shilta Giborim. Right? He says the Dayanim aren't allowed to influence the Balei Dinim at all, Lachar Gmar Din. Okay, I think so. The clear upshot of this these four Shitos is that Pshara is a higher virtue. It's Lefnim Mishuras Adin, or Lamala Mishuras Adin, while din itself is a kind of a bidyavad. In the other direction, obviously we have the manda amar that it's asr liptzoa, but perhaps the best explication of this is the Meshech Chochma in Bereishis, commenting on the Ramban about the trying Shechem for not establishing dinim. The Meshech Chochma there says that for Bnei Noach, who don't have a system of din, so then we could say Pshara Kodemes Ladin. Right? Because Pshara is not coming at the expense of Choshe Mishpat. But for Bnei Yisrael, who are supposed to adjudicate Alpi Choshe Mishpat, then of course Pshara has to be subservient to din. Okay? So according to the Meshech Chachma, you see very nicely that the reason why Pshara is negative is because we're supposed to adjudicate Alpi Choshe Mishpat. Okay? It's a very nice, very clear explication of that concept. Let me move on to a third model. So again, the first model is that they're supplementary. The second model is to say there's axiological priority. The question is, which one is prior? The third model is to say...
Those are intentional.
What?
Those are intentionally valid.
Which ones?
Say that Shara supplements Din and that Din is axiological priority.
Yeah. Because I think the first model is saying we're talking about din being indeterminate. So there are cases which are supposed to be LP Pshara, there are cases which are supposed to be LP din. The second model is saying, take any case. We have a position whether l'chatchila should be adjudicated al pi din or pshara.
You can't say that we have a position that every case should be l'chatchila, not al pi din.
What?
You can't say that we have a position that every case should be done l'chatchila al pi din, and that pshara comes to supplement that.
Well, this is what we're talking about with Adam.
Well, yeah, but here you're making a much stronger claim that it's incompatible with saying that.
What's incompatible?
The first model that pshara supplements din is incompatible with saying that din is axiologically superior.
I'm not sure if you mean incompatible. You mean there are places where they'll contradict. It could be that there are cases where they'll contradict. It's a different model, right? You're not disputing that. One model is to say, we don't have any question about the priority. Cases are for pshara, cases for din. The second model is to say, a case which can either be adjudicated by pshara or by din, we have a preference.
The first model is not taking a stance on which one's more important. It's just taking a stance on the role that pshara comes to fill in the gap.
So the first model is saying they're both axiologically neutral.
Well, why does it have to assume that?
It certainly can assume that.
Okay, maybe it can assume that. So that was your discussion with that.
Right.
Now you're saying that it's incompatible with the second model.
Well, it's incompatible if the first model can assume axiological neutrality and the second model cannot assume axiological neutrality, then they're incompatible. No?
No.
What?
I mean, I don't really see it.
Yeah, Kier, what do you say?
By compatible, I think the way Isaac is using it just means that all the assumptions in the first model could work with all the assumptions in the second model.
Can it? Can it work with the assumption of axiological neutrality of the first model?
Not because it'd be with that assumption.
Right. Does the first model need axiological neutrality?
But it can have axiological neutrality. The second model X hypothesis
can. But it also can have axiological non-neutrality.
What?
It also can have axiological non-neutrality.
You're using so many polysyllabic words, I can't even follow you.
The first model can have that data is conceptually prior, or that pshara is conceptually prior.
Right. But the first model can also have. But the first model can also have that neither are prior.
Correct. So the first model includes the second model or a different object.
Right. But the second model cannot assume neutrality.
Is the second model anything more than just saying there's not neutrality?
No.
So the first model can assume that there's not neutrality. So the first model can assume the second model.
So it's a subset.
So therefore they're compatible.
I don't think so. We could fight this out later. But you don't see how these are distinct models? The first model I'm saying is you see how they're distinct models?
Yeah.
Okay. Your question about the compatibility.
Right.
Yeah. You're right. There are ways of interpreting the first model.
There are different models in the sense that one's talking about the axiological value of each process, and
right.
One's talking about the role that pshara comes to.
Okay, so I'm assuming that when you talk about a supplementary model, I'm assuming contra Adam that it presupposes neutrality. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm assuming. Okay. That's what I'm assuming.
Adam is a philosophy.
Right. Okay, can we move on a little bit, or is this let's move on a little bit, then we'll have questions afterwards, alright?
Yeah, I'm on like
towards that first. let's hold off on that, okay? We'll come back to that. Okay, so those are the first two models. The third model is to say fine, let's put these questions aside. Okay. And maybe what we have to be concerned with let's say we could even assume that mitzvahs, that din is kodem l'pshara. Okay, let's say we could assume that. Or we could assume that pshara is kodem l'din. But we have to worry about crossing the boundary which distinguishes din from pshara. Okay, so put all this question about how one is supposed to supplement the other or how one is supposed to be prior to the other aside. Nevertheless, the halacha is worried about there being a clear boundary between what's a process of din and what's a process of pshara. Okay, so the issue is really so much a matter of confusing these two categories rather than choosing one over the other. Okay, so for example, you may hold that mitzvahs pshara is kodemes l'din, but once you're involved in din, you shouldn't transfer over to pshara. Okay, so let me just give a few shittos that seem to say that the real issue here is about crossing the boundaries. The Tosfos Chachmei Anglia has the position that even the Man D'Amar who holds that it's Asur to do Pshara, he would concede that that's only La'achar Shenichnesu LeBezdin. That it's only once you step foot into court. And but before you step foot into court, then everybody would agree that Mitzvah LeFasher. Okay, and the Raya is from Midas Aron. Okay, so it's once you're somehow involved in a court, just by stepping into the courtroom, so then you have to go through the system of din. Prior to that, you could definitely do pshara. A second ride to this idea is put forth by the Sefer HaAguda, Talmud of the Marami Rutenberg, and the Aguda says that the iser to do pshara is only if it's done by a dayan, but an acher she'eno dayan, somebody who's not a dayan, he's allowed to do pshara even lachar gemar din. Okay, so again, if you're stepping out of the process, or you're stepping out of the category of din or beis din or shame dayin, then pshara is fine.
Just to clarify, you're saying as the dayin who adjudicated the case?
It's not clear. He says acher she'eno dayin. And the Shulchan Aruch passed me, it doesn't qualify. Like maybe like if someone's a mumchal rabbi, meaning he's not adjudicating your case, he can't do pshara. A third indication of this idea is suggested by the Rashba in Tshuva Elef Kuf Gimel. It's quoted Paskin and Shulchan Aruch also. And the Rashba writes that Pshara is mutter shelo b'mokom ha'kavua l'mishpat. Okay, so long as it's not in a place which is usually used for a mishpat. Okay, similar to the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia.
That's a physical place, right? That's...
Yeah, a physical courtroom.
Mutter according to Madam Rashba.
What?
What do you mean mutter?
Pashat means even achar gemar din. Even achar gemar din. Okay. It could be that related to this question is the question of how we define, related to this question about having clear boundaries between din and pshara, is the question of how we define the gemar din, i.e. the boundary which once crossed, you're not supposed to go ahead and do pshara. And here in the Rishonim, we find three definitions of Gemar Din le'inyan Pshara. The most extreme shita is put forth by the Smag in Mitzvah Kuf Vav. The Smag adopts the definition of Gemar Din from the Gemara in Bava Metzia and Bava Kama, contending that the Gemar Din is when you say Tse Tamlo. Rashi and the Rabbim have a weaker definition of Gemar Din. They say it's once the Dayanim announce Ploniyata Chayev, Ploniyata Zakai. Tosfos has the weakest definition of Gemar Din, and it's once the Dayanim already have a decision even before they issue the decision. Okay, so three definitions of Gemar Din. It's very possible that these different Hagdaros of Gemar Din correspond to what you see the problem as when you transition from Din to Pshara. So you might say, again, it's speculative in terms of reading it into Shitas Rashi, but it's clear in the Rimu L'Nil. The Rimu L'Nil paskins Gemar Din like Rashi, and you would say Kol Shekein if you had Gemar Din like the Smag, that it's once they issue the Psak. He says the problem with switching to Pshara is an Isser Gezel, because you're already Mizakeh the most to the winning party. To now go ahead and to do Pshara is Din Gezel from the party who won. Right, so if you hold maybe that you have a real Gemar Din, a real Psak, then the problem with switching over to Pshara is Nisr of Geza. Because you pask in the case a certain way. It could be that there's a different, according to Tosfos, that there's a different problem. Again, it's not Mechach, but I think we suggested this in Shir. Tosfos says the problem is that there's an Isr Lahat Oso. Right, once the Dayanim have a clear sense of where the case is going, it's dishonest to mislead the litigants. What could that be? So it could be a kind of avak gezel in the spirit of Rashi, or it could be that there's a problem with corrupting the process of din. Right, that if you're already within the process of din, you're going to decide the case, to now deceive the litigant and try to switch over to pshara, that's a form of ivos hadin. Now it could be, again, this is also speculative, but this is related to Rabbi Kiva Eger's position in his Hagos, the Siman Yad Beis, and he says that if b'dieved a dayan switches la'achar, if he switches to pshara, so that's considered a toa bidvar mishnah, and the din is chozer. Okay. It could be that what he means is that it's a toa bidvar mishnah because you made such a basic mistake in the procedure of din. Once you know lehechana din note that you're supposed to finish the din, to switch over to pshara is a Tovus Bidvar Mishnah. It's not Mokhach at all. It's not Mokhach at all, but it could be what Rabbi Akiva Eiger has in mind. So Ad Kan, the discussion about having clear boundaries between the process of Shara and the process of Din. Here it says, "Eino rashe lasos pshar b'neim v'machak kachosu pshar b'kinyan as apshir apshara b'teila to have a koet tovid dar mishnah." He doesn't say. He doesn't say if he's defining it like Tosos or like Rashi. We have to check. We have to check the tshuva of the Rashach that he's quoting. Now we move to the final discussion, and that is conceptually. Okay, so again, not about the model of how din is supposed to relate to pshara when we apply it, but conceptually, are there characteristics of pshara which are borrowed or on loan from din? Okay, to put it differently, how similar are the dinim of pshara to the dinim of din itself? So here we're going to run through a quick list of nafkamina. The first nafkamina is how many dayanim are you supposed to have for din? The Gemara in Daf Vav Mir Aleph has a suggestion at the machlokas or meir and the chachamim about whether you need gimel dayanim or whether you could suffice with one dayan for pshara is itself a machlokas and whether we hold makshin on pshara l'din. A second nafkamina to this question would be granted even if you want to hold that you need three dayanim. Do the three dayanim function in the same way dayanim function in din? So Tosus Rid says yes, in the sense that we're someich on two out of three dayanim, or someich on rov, a decision of rov of the judges. Tosus on Daf Vav Mir Aleph disagrees. Tosus says afilu imakshinan pshar ledin lav lechol midi makshinan, and you need a unanimous decision of all three dayanim. A third nafkamina to this question is posed by the Bach in Simin Tes Sif Katan Yud. The Bach says that unlike a dayan who's not allowed to be paid directly for sitting on a bezdin, a posher is allowed to take money for sitting on the pshara council because pshara is not a form of din. Right, so there's no shame dayan with respect to the iser of taking a schar. A fourth nafkamina is suggested by the Mari Bruna and Simon Reshid Gimel. Mari Bruna says very nicely that even though there's an Isser of Lo Saguru Mipnei Ish when it comes to Din, there's no parallel Isser of Lo Saguru when it comes to Pshara. And I think he has the lashon that there ain't no Bitoras Dayanim. When you're Nachis to a case of Pshara, you're not Nachis as a Dayan. You're Nachis as a Posher. Very interesting. You could have argued differently. Maybe you could have said that it has to do, right? We saw like in the Chizkuni that the reason for Lo Seguro is you could say it's not me, the Dayan, who imposed this punishment; it's the Torah which imposed it. Right. So that would work for Din when you're saying it's Choshen Mishpat, which came to the decision. But for Pshara, where it's clearly the decision of the Dayan, so then you don't have that het there. You don't have that claim of it's not me; it's the Torah. Okay, that's not how the Mari Bruna is taking it. Mari Bruna is saying it's because you're not a dayan. Okay. A fifth nafkamina is suggested by the Ran and Daf Hei Beis. The Ran says that kol ha'olam is roi lasos pshara, and therefore, if two litigants make a kinyan to do pshara together, anybody in the world could come over and tell them how to settle the pshara. And he says no litigant has the right to claim that this person is not roi to do pshara for me. So unlike Din, where Zeb posel dayano shel Zeb v'chulei, the litigant has no taina that a posher is not roi to do pshara. A very big chiddush of the Ran. So these first five nafkaminas relate more to the dayanim. Okay, so that the shame dayan or the role of a dayan is different in pshara than it is for Din. The next few nafkaminas seem to relate more to the process or the procedure of Din, in contrast to Pshara. So we have our six nafkamina. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Samuches Sif Aleph says that Shtaros Pshara, or Shtaros Shel Pshara, that came out of our Kol Shel Goyim, Harehin Kecheres. Okay, so Shtar Pshara, which came out of a non-Jewish court, is invalid. The Sma there in Samuches Yud Gimel says that not only is a Shtar Pshara Kecheres, but if two litigants go to a non-Jewish court to do Pshara, the Pshara is invalid. Why? Okay, because we have this formal hekesh that says pshara is kedin, therefore it's usher to do pshara in our kol shel goyim. Okay, also very, very big chiddush. Very big chiddush. Especially if you hold that the isser arkos is because you're avoiding dinei Torah. Right? You're avoiding dinei Torah and to go to our kol shel goyim. But if pshara is never itself like a specifically din Torah way of adjudicating, and why should there be a problem of going to our kos? Right. And the Sma's answer is formal. The answer is, oh, because makshin on pshara l'din. Okay, not like Yonatan was suggesting that he's supposed to do pshara with choshe mishpat in the background. The Gon and the Nesivis there also endorse this position of the Sma. A seventh nafkamina may emerge out of the commentary of Kiva Eger and Zagos to Simon Yud Beis. Kiveger says that a pshara betos is choser. Pshara betos is choser. You might have said that there's no category of tos when it comes to pshara. Because you might have said that pshara is whatever the dayanim decide. And how could you have a mistake in almost an ex cathedra decree of a dayan? Yeah, but the fact that you think that there could be a tos implies that there's some sort of formal procedure for pshara. Perhaps this is in contrast to our next nafkamina, suggested by the Meiri. This is our eighth nafkamina. The Meiri says that, or he has two deyas about, whereas in din, we say that a dayan is neman to say lo zechisi lo zechiyavti, based off the Gemara in Kiddushin. A posher would not be neman to say lo zechisi lo zechiyavti. Why? Because in din, the dayan could give you the rationale for his psak. In pshara, there's no rationale that the dayan could cite for why he pasked in this way. I'm saying that seems to stand in tension with this earlier suggestion of Rabbi Akiva Eiger that there's a concept of toast when it comes to pshara. Again, they need not be in conflict, but to me it suggests tension here. Isaac, you're probably gonna say they're not in conflict.
Depends how you define toast and pshara.
He doesn't tell us what he.
Here he defines it as Rachamim Ben Adin.
Right, but
so you still can't provide a justification for why you made a
car of a toast means that there was some sort of like, right, procedural problem, a non-procedural problem. Like, oh, I thought Reuven was Shimon, and yeah. I gave it. Maybe. Maybe. A ninth nafkamina. Appears in a comment of the Ran and Daf Vav Med Aleph. The Ran says that whereas you may suggest that you require two dayanim for din, no one would suggest that you require two dayanim for pshara. Why? Because for din, it makes sense to say that you need two dayanim. One person will advocate for one litigant, the other dayan will advocate for the other, and the truth emerges dialectically through this kind of a battle that's waged in the courtroom. It says it's Dehavale Ke'ein Milchama. Where both sides are just trying to get to shalom. Right, so you might say that pshara is about the dayanim agreeing on a certain outcome. Right? Kind of like we see in Tosos, that you need a unanimous decision when it comes to pshara. Whereas for din, the process is really out of the dialectic. Right? Out of the dayanim disagreeing, you'll come to a correct interpretation of the case. So the Ran here is giving us a distinction in terms of the deliberations of the dayanim, how the deliberations for pshara are supposed to be different from the deliberations of din. Let us conclude with one final nafkamina, and that is, what is the mechanism through which pshara is valid? And here we won't go into the whole sugya, b'mlo prateho diktukeha. This will either leave for the next chazar shir or for Rabbi's chazar shir if he's going to cover it. And that is how is pshara valid? Tosa Rush has a comment on Daf Vav Mir Aleph that even Shmuel, who holds that you could have two dayanim for din, he would concede that you need three for Pshara. Why? Because you need three for Hefker, Bezin, Hefker to make Pshara valid. All right, so the assumption here is that Din is valid just by virtue of it being the truth of what Halacha prescribes. It has the fourth, it has the endorsement of Choshei Mishpat. But Pshara needs an actual Bezdin of Hefker, Bezin, Hefker in order to be Mafkir the Mammon to make the decision of Dayanim binding. The Or Zeruah may have a similar shita. The Or Zeruah holds, based off a comment of the Bahag, that Lamaskana, if you have three Dayanim, you don't need a Kinyan. Right? So the Pshara would be valid by virtue of it having the force of three Dayanim. We don't know if he means that if it has three Dayanim, now it has the force of Din, or if he means like the Tosa Rush, that it has the force of Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. Okay, that we don't know. On the other side of the spectrum, the Yad Ramah says, what?
Why
is going to the Or Zeruah? Because against Rashi. It's against all the other Rishonim. The other Rishonim hold that even when you have three, you need a Kinyan. So that leaves open the question whether the mechanism is through Kinyan or whether it's through the force of the Dayanim. The Or Zeruah and the Bahag. Oh, okay, good. It could be. I think this is more complicated because we don't know what the mechanism for Din being valid is, right? What if the psak of Dayanim is by virtue of Hefker, Bezin, Hefker always, right? It could very well be. The Rush, I'm saying from Tosa Rush, we know that's not true because the Rush says Shmuel will suffice Shtayim for Din, but in the Or Zeruah, it's an open question. I think it's like a real question about the Yesodos of Choshei Mishpat. And maybe every court case, even Al-Pi Dinei Torah, is relying on Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. Well? Lame? What is this? Well, yeah. We used to get to put you in Chayrim for calling a Shita lame.
Listen, as long as it's not a Shita, yeah.
Don't say it to me. Say it to somebody else.
It's not a Shita. It's your interpretation.
Okay. Even worse.
Jamar, you have like five outstanding.
Did they cancel each other out?
Yeah. Just from this Chazar Shir? Well.
Congratulations.
Okay. I don't even know what to say. So I'm saying we don't really know what the mechanism. I think it's a very Yesodistic question, like what the mechanism would be. So these are both saying that it's really the force of three Dayanim, either Mitam Hefker Bezin Hefker, or the way Adam's taking the Or Zeruah, Mitam Makshinan Pshar Ledin, okay, by itself. On the other side of the spectrum, we have the Yad Ramah's comment that he doesn't understand how there's even a Deya in the Gemara that holds that you need Gimel, because once you have a Kinyan, the Pshar is going to be binding even if it's done by an Isha or a Katan or an Eved. Meaning, what? That's the Yad Ramah says it. Meaning that the Pshara is binding by virtue of the Kinyan which the Baal Edinim commit themselves to. Right, so he doesn't even understand why we should require three Dayanim, and he ends up saying, oh, maybe it's only L'chatchila. Right, it's a more just process if you have three people thinking about it than if you have one person thinking about it. But clearly the mechanism for why a Pshara is binding is in virtue of the Kinyan. The Ran seems to. Okay, we'll hold off on the Ran. Okay, so we just have two different shitos in the Rishonim, whether it's really the Kinyan which is driving the validity of Pshara, or whether it's the force of the three Dayanim themselves. Okay, so we'll close here. So in the next Chazar Shir, hopefully we'll speak about the Pratim of Pshara Tzricha Kinyan Ein Tzarach Kinyan, and how that Kinyan is going to work. And then from there, I think Robbie is going to speak about Mechila Tzarech Kinyan or Ina Tzarech Kinyan. And then from there, we'll go to Melissa Gurmipnesh. All right.